Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title with the show.
My name is Jim Owen. I created this show called Classical Mystery Tour in 1996, and I also play John Lennon in the group.
Yes, and we're talking because coming to Capital One Hall on Saturday, February 10th, it's going to be a really cool Beatles 60th anniversary tribute, a partnership between your group, your Classical Mystery Tour that you're talking about, performed by the Fairfax Symphony at Capital One Hall. So, hey, before we go into the songs you're going to hear and all that, talk about sort of the fact that it's the 60th anniversary. Like, what exactly happened in D.C. on February 11th, 1964?
The Beatles were really popular in England starting about 1963, and they had a bunch of number one hits over there. Please, Please Me, She Loves You, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And then around really early 1964, I Want to Hold Your Hand hit number one here in the States. And Ed Sullivan had his famous Sunday night show where he booked the Beatles to perform. I believe they arrived in New York on February 7th, had a day off on the 8th to kind of just get situated. And on the 9th, they played the Ed Sullivan show in New York. February 10th, they took a train down to Washington, D.C., and then on February 11th, 1964, they played their first concert in Washington, D.C. at the Coliseum. I don't know if that building still exists. I kind of don't think so. But that was a time when a Beatles concert was just 30 minutes at the end of a long show of a bunch of other acts. And so we're going to actually recreate that 30 minutes approximately. Beatles' first ever concert they did in 1964 on the first half of the show. With the Fairfax Symphony. And then on the second half of the show, we'll play with the orchestra. Obviously, the first part of the show, it's just our group playing by ourselves. And then on the second half of the concert, with the orchestra, doing a lot of the other Beatles catalog, everything after, you know, Yesterday was 1965, Eleanor Rigby, 1966. But once they hit 1967, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and on, a lot of their songs are recorded with symphony orchestra backing. So that's a lot of the pieces we'll be doing on the second half of the concert with Fairfax Symphony.
I love it. So just to clarify, so you're saying that the Beatles' first ever performance in the U.S. was on the Ed Sullivan Show, obviously, but that was TV. But when they took the train down to D.C. on the 11th, that was the first ever U.S. actual concert.
Yes, that's correct. First concert. And I think it's really great because they opened that concert with a Chuck Berry song. George Harrison sang it. They opened with Roll Over Beethoven.
Of course.
I thought that was a really cool way for the Beatles to make their first, you know, appearance live on stage in front of an actual concert audience in the States. And then, of course, that set list included a bunch of other great stuff like I Saw Her Standing There, She Loves You, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And then again, they closed the show with a couple of great American rock songs, Twist and Shout, originally by the Isley Brothers, and Long Tall Sally by Little Richard.
Man, can you imagine and some folks listening to this in D.C. might have actually been there 60 years ago. And so this is goosebumps for sure. But man, what in hindsight, what a legendary show to have gone to. I think it was an audience of about 8,000 people at the Washington Coliseum in Northeast D.C. that day. Well, very cool. So you've sort of hinted at it a little bit, but I'll be doing two radio pieces. So it's okay if we repeat a little information, but let's dive into the set list for this actual show. I believe you said that the first half of the show is going to be like, is it songs from that first concert? And then the second half is other Beatles songs. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. The first half of our show, we're playing February 10th at Capital One. What's it called? Capital One Hall?
Capital One Hall. Yes. Not to be confused with Capital One Arena, which is downtown where the Wizards and Caps play for now before they're going to relocate. But this is Capital One Hall, a pretty new building out in Tysons, Virginia.
Right. So February 10th, Capital One Hall, our first part of our show is going to be an exact recreation of the set list that the Beatles did back in 1964 at Washington Coliseum. So they only played about a half an hour at the end of that concert, and it includes songs like I Saw Her Standing There, All My Loving, This boy, till there was you, I want to be your man. I want to hold your hand. She loves you. Twist and Shout. Long Tall Sally. I don't know if I mentioned all of them, but it's a great, yeah, tight little set.
Awesome. And then you say, then you stop. And then there, is there like an intermission? You say you come back on the second half of this, of your anniversary concert. And the second half is, you know, other, I guess, future hits that the Beatles would go on to record.
Yeah, typically there's a 20-minute intermission on a concert like this. So after the 20-minute intermission, we'll come back on stage, backed by the Fairfax Symphony Orchestra. And that's when we get to do a lot of great stuff that the Beatles recorded with orchestra, but never actually played live in concert. So you get to hear Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, I Am the Walrus, A Day in the Life, The Long and Winding Road, Yesterday, Eleanor Rigby, all those kind of songs with live with orchestra.
Hmm. How epic is that to, you know, just expand upon that a little bit, to be, I mean, we've heard the Beatles songs and we love these songs, but to hear it with a live orchestra, like, talk about how epic that's going to be. It's just going to add a whole layer, a tidal wave of sound behind you guys.
It is. It's one of the greatest things I've ever been involved with. And we've been doing this show called Classical Mystery Tour since 1996. And I'll never forget when we first went on stage with an orchestra on the first show. It was in Southern California. And those of us, four guys in the group, there's one of us for each character, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. I play John. And we just looked at each other in amazement with what it sounded like to back with a live symphony orchestra. And that's really what sets it apart. They're not arrangements of Beatles songs. It's exactly transcribed note for note from the original Beatle recordings. So you have the four of us in the group doing as good as we can, playing live the music and the vocals of the Beatles, backed by the orchestra, also doing their best to sound exactly like the original recordings, but done live in concert.
And do you know how many piece orchestra it's going to be with the Fairfax Symphony?
I'm guessing around 60 to 70 pieces. It's a full orchestra with brass, winds, big string section. There's percussion, a harp, even a keyboardist, so that we can cover everything the Beatles did live on records. And something that's unusual for a symphony orchestra, they actually have to supplement with saxophones. A lot of Beatles songs had saxophone in, like Got to Get You Into My Life and All You Need Is Love, Lady Madonna. So all that stuff, of course, all done live.
Awesome. Cool. I'm starting to get a sense of this thing now. So I'm starting to kind of think in my head how these radio pieces are going to work. I get it now. So the first half is you playing John Lennon and your three other people performing just like the four of you guys with like your own little band, the Classical Mystery Tour band. And then the second half, it's still you guys, but with the giant Fairfax Symphony behind you.
That's exactly right. And, to help the illusion, when our show started, it was really focused on just recreating the music as respectfully as we could, and we still do. I mean, that's the main focus of our show, is that the music and the vocals be as good as possible and as faithful to the original Beatles as possible. But to help create the illusion, you know, we also use costumes. So the first half, we're going to have the black early Beatles suits. After intermission with the orchestra, we'll have the Sgt. Pepper costumes, and then there's a costume change into the Abbey Road. You know what the Beatles wore on cover of the Abbey Road album. That's actually, as a John Lennon character, that's my favorite costume, is the white suit with the long-haired wig and the glasses.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So all four of you are going to be wearing like the wigs and stuff, like those Beatles haircuts and everything.
Yeah, I have to say I'm fortunate enough that my real hair is a lot like the early Beatles. That's just the cut that suits me, so I don't have to wear a wig on the early Beatles. But when it comes to that long-haired wig and the glasses, yeah, my hair can't grow that fast, so I have to put the wig on for that one.
That's awesome. Hey, dish on the other three. If you're playing John Lennon, who's playing, you know, Ringo and Paul and George?
So Paul Curatolo plays the Paul McCartney part in our show.
Oh, Paul's playing
George,
a Paul.
Yeah, Paul is being played by Paul Curatolo. As George, we have Robbie Berg. And on Ringo, we have Chris McBurney.
And if you could just expound upon that, thanks for giving me their names. But also, for the four of them, and yourself included, like what sort of... I don't know, what's like the key to playing each four of them? Like what, you know, like what would be like a noticeable characteristic in their performance style or musically that, that each of you four, you know, just if you want to go through all four, each member really quick, one at a time, like what do you think is like the important thing that you have to do to capture John Lennon and then Paul? And you know what I mean? If you could do it like that.
Well, especially for the John and Paul characters, the singing voice is the most important thing. And being able to sound like the originals, I think that's super important. So, I mean, when I was younger, I actually didn't think I was going to be much of a singer as a teenager. I just wanted to play guitar. I actually started off playing George in Beatles tribute groups. But people started to tell me that I looked more like John. And I thought, all right, I'll give it a try. And I'm really glad I did. I really enjoy singing his songs. That's the number one most important thing. And then just being a Beatles fan, having seen their films and videos and things over the years, then you get to know how they looked, how they acted, how they moved on stage, how they hold the guitar, how they sing. And then you can add that into what I was talking about earlier, the illusion that you're actually watching the Beatles in concert on stage. And for Paul, Paul Curatolo, who plays him in our group, is a right-handed bass player, but he learned to play left-handed so that he would look more like Paul McCartney does on stage. And that's extremely difficult, but Paul is just so incredibly talented. I really have to give him credit for being able to play left-handed bass in time, in rhythm. You'd never know he wasn't left-handed. That, to me, that's amazing. And his singing voice is beautiful. So I really have to give him a compliment because Paul McCartney has a beautiful and high voice, very difficult to sing. I always wanted to be Paul in a Beatles tribute band, but I just can't sing that high. It's just, you know, really world-class singing that Paul McCartney did.
Can't do this.
Yeah. Well, you know, and some of the really high stuff that he just is so effortless when he sings. Songs like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, I mean, that goes really high. It winds up on a B-flat. And, you know, as singers usually know that a high C is pretty much what you're striving for. And B-flat is pretty close to the high C. And he's just singing it full out rock and roll. It's really exciting to hear.
Awesome. Final seconds. Would you, I mean, a lot of people would agree, this is not a controversial statement, obviously. They're usually ranked the greatest band of all time. But in your opinion, what makes them do you agree they're the greatest band ever? And what do you think it was? Because, you know, they were only together, what, maybe like 9 years or something like that. But the amount of history they made and the number of timeless songs in that period, it is unrivaled.
I absolutely agree. Beatles are the greatest rock band ever. And, you know, you're right. I think their first record came out in 1962, Love Me Do, backed with P.S. I Love You. And their last recording session was the stuff for Abbey Road in 1969. And the amount of music they wrote and the variety of it, and it just all comes together with them. The way they sang, the way they performed, the sound of their records, their personalities, and their message. Absolutely the greatest rock band ever.
And do you have, final seconds, do you have a favorite song? And is it in this show?
Yeah, my favorite song to do in the show is A Day in the Life from the Sgt. Pepper album. And to hear that orchestra build-up section happening, you know, it happens twice in that song. To hear it happen live, it's just unbelievable, and I never get tired of doing it.
What a unique song, storytelling kind of song. And you're right, it kind of morphs and shifts into different sections. I can only imagine when the orchestra comes in there. Well, I had a blast talking with you. I thank you so much for joining us. And again, everyone, it's the Beatles 60th Anniversary Tribute performed by the Classical Mystery Tour in the first half. And then the second half, there you all are joined by Fairfax Symphony. It's going to be Saturday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Capitol One Hall in Tysons, Virginia. So get your tickets, everybody. Thanks for doing this. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you, too. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.